It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hey, Dustin Hockensmith, Greg Pickle back here on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Shotzi's Jumbo Brats. Whether tailgating at a game or having a cookout at home, Shotzi's Jumbo Brats belong on your grill. They are supersized to meet the hungriest tailgaters' needs. Shotzi's Jumbo Brats and football, it just doesn't get any better than that. Don't forget to add Shotzi's Jalapeno Relish. You can get yours at shotzisbrats.com or at the gopsurv.com lot every single Penn State home game weekend. And Greg, you know, we left off talking about KJ Hamler. We did mention DeAndre Tompkins in the context of returning punts, but I thought Kent State was a big redemption day for him. You know, I think from the outside looking in, we sometimes underestimate the role of confidence in how these games take shape and how seasons take shape.
Sure.
I thought DeAndre Tompkins, this was a confidence building game. I don't know. He seems like he's pretty strong minded, but those first two games, especially the pick game, a lot of drops, I thought he redeemed himself. That diving touchdown grab early kind of set the tone in the game, made his impact on special teams. I think people should feel a lot better about him moving forward. It was a little bit of a whim, a little bit flimsy to throw him under the bus early, but he's locked in.
Do you feel, I guess let me put it this way, do you feel is equally better about him as you do, none sure or worse, about Juwan Johnson?
Boy, I thought this was just the third game in a row where Juwan Johnson, he just was nowhere to be found. And it's hard to really put a word or describe what's going on with Juwan Johnson. There have been some times where he just doesn't look like he's ready for the ball when it's thrown his way.
Yeah.
There are times where it doesn't look like he's moving with a lot of urgency. So I don't know what's going on there. And I'm going to keep reserving judgment because I think he's a lot better than he's shown. And, maybe he'll step out of the shadows here coming up with Big Ten play. But to have DeAndre Tompkins playing at a high level is a big step forward.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, it's certainly a step in the right direction and shows, I think, that Penn State's offense is going to have times and spurts where it's the guys you think are the players that you think are stars don't necessarily perform that way. And sometimes it's just because what the defense gives them. But in the case of Juwan Johnson, man, I don't know. He just looks slow at times, and him and Trace McSorley just don't seem to be on the same page, which is bizarre considering how long he's been around. I don't know, but something needs to change moving forward.
And maybe it's just a matter of him. It's just as simple as playing better football, and I think that would help Penn State's cause too. But you know, I think the depth of this wide receiver unit is shining through a little bit. This was a game going into it where Brandon Polk was listed as an or player with DeAndre Tompkins as a start. I didn't even see who ended up starting. Was it Tompkins?
No, it was Brandon Polk.
It was Polk. Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
So that was maybe a little bit of a wake-up call to Tompkins. He ended up playing well. Maybe the same thing will happen with Juwan Johnson. The other big thing, and I think we're obviously going to talk about this a lot more in detail later, but a lot of kids got to play. Freshmen, redshirt freshmen. This was the first time where you really got to feel the new redshirt rule. And
right.
I think it's pretty cool, man. The idea of a guy like Daniel George getting out there and being able to get some run, you know he's going to redshirt, but to get that experience of streaking down the sideline for the longest play from scrimmage in Penn State history is a big deal. But how encouraging to get those guys just a little bit of game experience to play in front of all those fans and play against a team that's not your own.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, the biggest thing too is that, and this goes back to what James Franklin was talking about after the game, you get that many guys involved and you get so many players on the field that usually do not. And I think it changes the way that those guys start preparing for the weeks to come, and then the weeks become start to morph into something better because those guys say, okay, I was preparing one way and now I played in the game, and all these little things that I could have done better would have been better if I had just prepared a little bit differently and prepared like the starters do. So, you know, there's a lot of guys that fall into that category, I think, and it's going to help Penn State. It may not be evident right away this week against Illinois, but I think it's going to be as the season moves on.
So here's another question I have that it's more of a big picture question, I guess, but you know how talented Jason Owe is, right? He looked like he was in that yellow category coming into the year. I don't think that they thought that they needed him, but man, I mean, he was credited, I think it was with two sacks, and he looked so natural as a pass rusher out there. For him to do what he did in what I would call garbage time, is that enough to get James Franklin thinking a little bit more about whether four games or more than four games? I know that, you know, you, I guess you missed two opportunities worth of games,
right,
to get him on the field. But if he, if the staff really feels like he belongs, can he change their thinking?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I don't, probably not this year, but it is concerning, not to completely change players here, but where's Tommy Stevens? I mean, he was out there, he did warm-ups, but he still hasn't played. Maybe Penn State's just saving its line package for, you know, the big games, or maybe Tommy Stevens isn't ready to play. I don't know. I think more than anything, though, when it comes to Sean Clifford, we certainly learned that that Penn State has a third string quarterback that it can really rely on. And then the guy threw the 95-yard touchdown pass. Do keep in mind that there, Trace McSorley has so many program records. Saquon Barkley has so many program records. And the guys that are going to probably be etched in program lore maybe forever as the longest scrimmage play from scrimmage is Sean Clifford and Daniel George. I mean, go figure. But I think with Daniel George, you know, everyone thought Justin Shorter would be the first Penn State freshman receiver to catch a touchdown pass. And, you know, I think with Daniel George, you now have the confidence to say, okay, maybe this is a guy that can go out and get some stuff done for us if we need him to. But wide receiver is so tough, even with this new redshirt rule, because there's so many mouths to feed and there's a lot of guys worthy of the playing time, and not all of them are going to get it the way they want. So I don't know if we'll see any more from him or not, but Penn State definitely has a plan about how it's going to, you know, use these guys. I mean, Nick Tarburton's a good example. They played him the first two games, and then they're going to save his last two games for later on. Jason Owe now obviously got his opportunity to play. Two sacks. You wonder what kind of role he maybe has. I mean, his quick twitch is impressive, and it can give tackles a lot of problems, and I think that could help Penn State, again, moving down the road.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show talking Penn State, Kent State. And by the way, you can get your 409 Tailgate Club wine and barbecue this coming weekend at the Central PA Outdoor and Sports Show. It's September 22nd and 23rd. The Central PA Outdoor and Sports Show being held at the number one cycle center, Harley-Davidson, located on Route 322 east of State College in Center Hall. That's tailgatewine.com. You're going to learn a little bit more about the products themselves. And I think it's telling, Greg, that we've spent 20 minutes or so talking about Penn State, Kent State, and we still haven't really mentioned Trace McSorley. I think it's an idea of how, not taken for granted, but how assumed excellence is. And in this one, 5 touchdowns total, 3 rushing scores, still some drop situations that need to be cleaned up if you want to play with the best of the best teams. Some rhythm issues that kind of causes in the passing game. Then
yeah.
You end up getting a little bit behind the chains and you don't set them up. So his completion percentage wasn't what you expect from the guy who leads all Penn State quarterbacks of all time in completion percentage, but just another sort of ho-hum impactful day for McSorley. 3 rushing touchdowns. I haven't looked to see in terms of pace, but where he is at rushing numbers wise, but it would seem through 3 games this year versus maybe 3 games last year that they're running him more.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I mean, in the first 2 weeks, maybe not so much, and then this last week for sure. And you just wondered if that had anything to do with the fact that it's Tommy Stevens really wasn't around. But now, you know, I think they obviously know what they have in Sean Clifford. James Franklin was asked about that before the Kent State game, and he made note that, you know, I think that they wanted to try, I'm going to try and find the exact quote, but he basically said that they wanted to try and do more with Trace in the run game, and well, that it worked out pretty well. It's pretty amazing. 11 to 22, a couple of them drops, a couple of them misfires, but 5 touchdowns total makes you forget about any inaccuracy problems that he may have had on Saturday.
And you want to talk about pre-snap impact, talk about KJ Hamler in that regard. The idea of your quarterback running, it causes a problem before you hike the ball.
Right.
So I think that's something that Penn State, and now that they feel pretty good about. By the way, Sean Clifford, I get it that he's only thrown the ball a few times, but on that Daniel George double move, that sort of like subtle veteran pump, and he just stroked it deep. I mean, I think it's not about the result with him. I just think the way that he's looked and the way that he's carried himself, and he just looks like he's played a ton of college football, even though this is what his second game.
Yeah, I mean, he looks like it's cliche and sort of silly to say, but he looks like a veteran out there. He does. I mean, it doesn't look like the moment's too big for him. And let's be honest, late in a blowout is not the biggest moment in the world, but he doesn't he has not made the kind of rookie mistakes or rookie screw-ups that you might expect from a guy that's a redshirt freshman that is just getting his feet wet with playing at this level. So
you can tell a guy, redshirt freshman, that the game is moving very fast to them, and their eyes are wide. It just hasn't looked like that. I think that applies to any situation, including garbage time.
Yeah, it definitely is the case. You know, just looking at what he's done so far, again, Penn State has to feel really comfortable about the three quarterbacks that it has. And man, I'm getting way too far ahead of things, but it does make you wonder if there's not a quarterback battle next year, if it's not just going to be handed to Tommy Stevens.
Could Tommy Stevens remain in the Lion role one more year? It is premature, I get it, but I think
it's what blowouts bring us to talk to.
Well,
Dustin.
Right, but I think it's worth monitoring as the season goes on. You know, if he's a big time playmaker in that role, and Sean Clifford, you know, it has a chance to beat him in a quarterback battle, maybe. A couple other just big talking points. I think Pat Freiermuth, I wouldn't even say slowly but surely, but is he Penn State's top tight end right now?
I think so. I mean,
he looks really impressive, man.
He does. It's weird because John Holland, I don't know if I guess Danny Dalton played. Penn State played 74 guys on Saturday at least, according to the participation report. I don't remember Danny Dalton being on the field. Do you?
I don't know that he played.
Which is bizarre. Maybe he's hurt, but how do you play 74 guys and your quasi second first team tight end doesn't play? That's a little bit odd. But hey, look, I think that Freiermuth can block and he can make plays in the passing game. Probably he can definitely block better than Mike Gesicki, and he's probably better in the pass game than any of the other three. So I think he probably is the guy. It's nothing against John Holland or Danny Dalton or the oft-injured Nick Bowers. It's just fact of the matter that these guys have had consistency issues, and it seems that Freiermuth has come in and bucked the trend and has been really solid so far. I would expect to see him. I don't know if he's the starter this coming week, but he very well could be.
I just want to rattle off a few of the other notes that I jotted down. I'm going to empty my notebook. Mark Allen, I got to give him credit. He ran hard in this game. Finished with 62 yards or something like that.
Yeah.
He ran hard. CJ Thorpe, getting running right guard. He was responsible for a touchdown coming back. Amani Oruwariye, beaten on a touchdown. He goes up with two hands. I think sometimes you live by the interception, you die by the interception. That was what I thought there.
Yeah.
Early offsides penalties got to be cleaned up. Penn State beaten by an onside kick for the second time in three games also needs to be cleaned up. Where's John Reed? And am I wrong thinking Donovan Johnson can be really, really good?
No, you're not. I mean, Penn State has three really tremendous corner options in Tariq and Amani and Donovan Johnson, and then you know, they have a couple other guys that have contributed as
McPherson
well.
McPherson and Reed maybe too. So we talked about the freshmen a little bit just now. We're going to talk all about them in our little freshman report coming up after this.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated. And it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
Whether you're going to Happy Valley for a football game or having a cookout at home, Shotzi's Jumbo Brats belong on your grill. These awesome brats are made with the finest ingredients using an old-fashioned German recipe and supersized to meet the hungriest tailgaters' needs. Shotzi's Jumbo Brats and football. It just doesn't get any better than that. Get yours at shotzisbrats.com. That's S-C-H-A-T-Z-I-S brats.com.